Mark Stafford. He's with the OData team, and we're here to talk about OData. Mark, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jerry. Glad to be here.
Now, Mark, just for those who may not know you, tell me, who are you?
I'm a PM on the OData team. Before the OData team, I was on the Unity Framework team, and before Microsoft, I worked out in the industry on data services and architecting various server client platforms.
Got it. All right. I know what OData is. You know what OData is. Let's assume that nobody knows what OData is for a second. What's OData?
OData is a protocol. OData is built on other protocols like HTTP and AtomPub and JSON, and it just kind of brings a collection of technologies together into a RESTful paradigm so that you're using normal HTTP verbs to talk to a server.
Okay. So OData is a server technology or a client technology?
OData is primarily a server technology, but it's a communication technology between servers and clients.
Got it. I always think about it with invoices. You know, if I were going to create a web service that was going to try and return invoices, I'd create that method that says get invoices that are in this date range, and you pass in the date range. Get invoices for this customer, and you pass in the customer. Get invoice, and just keep on going. And all those methods, they all exist in my web service. OData is different, though, right? It kind of solves that maintenance nightmare.
Yeah, OData gives you these URL conventions that you can deal with so that you don't have to have lots of custom methods for setting up your REST API. So OData has these URL formatting rules that you can go out and find at odata.org. But essentially, we define a path to a resource, and so maybe that's myservice/invoices. And then within that invoice, we have a series of rules that you can use to drill in. So if you want to find invoices that total more than $500, you can say invoices/$filter total equals more than $500,
yeah,
or is greater than $500.
All from a single endpoint, and you don't have to have a developer who builds a service dream up and forecast every possible method call that somebody's going to need for a client.
That's right. And the best part is because these are predefined URL conventions, any client can talk to that service without having to have intimate knowledge of how the service works.
Okay. On the service side, I mean, a lot on the client side, but let's start with the server. Mm-hmm. If I want to use OData to expose my data, what database do I need on the back end that's supported?
So because OData is just a protocol, it supports lots and lots of different databases. Microsoft produces an implementation of an OData server called WCF Data Services, and WCF Data Services can use any one of a number of technologies to talk to backends. So for instance, the easiest way to get up and running is probably to use Entity Framework. An Entity Framework can talk to, of course, SQL Server or Oracle or a number of other databases. But you could also do like an in-memory system or a NoSQL database. It's just that the bar goes up a little bit for difficulty at that point in time.
Okay, that's right. I mean, certainly implementing it for Entity Framework is a no-brainer. You just say, here it is, and go get it, and it does all the rest for you magically. It's pretty cool. All right, let me just make sure I got it right. All right, so it's on the server. It's a service, and if I am using Microsoft, then if I'm using Entity Framework or some way I'm talking to the database, as long as it comes back to me as an enumerable, then I can expose that through an OData service really easily.
Yeah, one minor correction. It needs to come back as an iQueryable, because iQueryable is what allows you to remote that query over the client-server gap.
Got it. And iQueryable is sort of what the Entity Framework is going to do for me by adding that step in between the database and my service.
That's right. iQueryable was actually added with the link embedded query language, and so any of the normal link operators are supported in our WCF Data Services client, and certainly you can imagine paradigms in other languages that would be equivalent.
Sure. And so that's a good point, by the way. Because it's iQueryable and it's in link, not part of necessarily Entity Framework, I could make anything queryable. I could have just an array that I want to query. I could have something that I generate on the fly. I could read files. It doesn't have to be a database.
Sure. Yeah, I saw a link to Twitter operator the other day. So you could hook up to Twitter and search for various tweets.
And expose that as an OData service and interact with it. It's beautiful. It really is beautiful. Now, at the same time, if I'm not using Microsoft technology, you know, I'm on some other stack. I've heard there are others. They have the same option, right? They can expose it the same way through the same protocol. How do they do it?
Well, there are other implementations out there. So probably the other best-known implementation out there is OData for J, which, of course, works on the Java framework. It is a first-class implementation of OData. They're currently at OData v2 support, but they're used by a number of parties out there in the real world.
Got it. That's pretty cool. So now that's the server side. Yep. And it's nice to talk about OData J because the deal is a lot of people think that OData is Microsoft,
yeah.
And they're right in saying that we dreamed it up, right?
Right, yep.
But what's kind of the history of OData now? Where are we today?
So OData has changed quite a bit from its early days. It was originally a Microsoft technology, but there's a number of companies that are buying in big. SAP's NetWeaver Gateway speaks OData, IBM's WebSphere speaks OData, and there's a number of companies joining us in a consortium to standardize OData through the OASIS forum.
And it's not just another technology du jour here. We really are talking about something that makes things better, right? We're solving a common problem that not only makes it easier for developers, but really makes it potentially less expensive and more maintainable for applications.
That's right. I mean, we provide, as we said before, that ability to write a RESTful API without having to come up with all the various permutations of function calls that you would want to do with a RESTful API.
And for those developers that are watching, you know, they may think OData is pretty cool for read-only data. Yeah. But is it just read-only?
No, it's not. We support the full gamut of HTTP verbs. So we support GET, of course, for read, but we support PUT and POST for getting things up to the server or modifying things. We support the DELETE verb. We even support the new HTTP PATCH verb so that if you want to send up just part of the properties of an entity, then you can do that and do kind of a delta operation on a given entity.
If there's a developer out there building a web service that exposes their application's data or just data and they don't even have a client front end, they're just exposing the data, they're crazy not to look at OData, if you ask me. They really are. All right, well, there's three steps here. We're on the server. We're going to go to the client. But before we get to the client, you're going to be transmitting data. Now, what's that payload look like?
So that payload can come in one of three different formats as of right now. So right now, we support AtomPub, which is a very XML-based format. And if you've seen Atom feeds before, then you know exactly what AtomPub looks like.
And AtomPub is just a standard RSS feed is what it looks like.
That's right. And in fact, it is so well mapped to the standard RSS feed that if you load this type of feed up in a IE browser or Chrome or something like that, it'll actually map to the well-known feed readers that work out there. So it's kind of a cool demo.
You kind of get a free client.
Yeah.
Right out of the box.
And then
we might as well just agree.
Yeah. Secondly, we had a format of JSON in OData v2 that we've now improved on. And so there's actually two variants of JSON right now. In this new version of JSON, we had originally called JSON Lite. Going forward, as we standardize, it will be the only JSON format. And you can think of this JSON format as what you would do if you wanted to create a very custom, very pretty JSON API. And so it's very sparse. There's lots of calculation that's going on behind the scenes, so OData has lots of control metadata that it works with. How do I find the items link from that invoice, right? So how do I navigate from that invoice to the line items that were on the invoice? All of that data gets calculated in the JSON Lite payload, and so you don't actually see it. If you look at what's across the wire, then you just see the invoice's ID and the total and the things that you would actually expect to see on the wire.
So let me just make sure. So we have the first format that we get is back this XML, and that was really the first one, and that's the reason
that's right.
We still see it today.
Right.
And so the client serializes it, and everything's good, or deserializes it. But the JSON, that's there because this is not just for .NET clients, say.
That's
this
right.
is also for JavaScript, and it's for really anybody out there who wants to receive it. And receiving back JSON is just, it's so commonplace today that if we didn't support it, we would be excluding a lot of clients. And you're saying that the JSON we send back is not just normal old JSON, it's actually super minified kind of JSON, where a lot of the headers have been taken off and really reducing the payload. I've seen, I think it was even you, that showed me a chart of difference between an Atom payload all the way down, like it was almost 10% of the the first payload in this, what do you call it? A simple JSON? What do you call it?
The name while it was in production was JSON Lite. Going forward, it will be just the JSON format for OData. But yeah, you're right. It's a 90% on the wire savings over AtomPub. And when you gzip, of course, you know that difference shrinks, but it's still a substantial improvement over AtomPub.
And it's a big deal because applications today are more and more performant, right? As soon as your application looks like it's just spinning all the time, it's just the invitation to uninstall your app.
Well, and realistically, if you're in some custom HTML JavaScript application, you really don't want to take on parsing XML. So being able to parse a JSON format and being able to just kind of read the properties off of that payload, right, as you would expect to read off of any other API is really beneficial.
All right, so I know for a fact that I'm writing a WPF application. I can pull up the client for OData, and I can just interact with it just like that.
Yep.
I know that I can do it with Windows Phone.
Yep.
I assume when Windows 8, the SDK is out there, I'm going to be able to do it with Windows Phone 8?
You will be able to do it with Windows Phone 8. We have our bits where they need to be, and when Windows Phone 8 SDK releases, we will go ahead and release at the same time in OData SDK for Windows Phone 8.
And I've already seen the SDK for Windows 8 development, just standard Windows 8 development. That runs on ARM, 64, 8, everything, right?
That's right. We released that a couple weeks back now.
Now, it's not just there, right? I remember in RP, it was RP, right? Yeah, in RP, I could just right-click. I could say add service reference, point to my service wherever it is, and it would work. I go there in RTM, and it's not there. It's an additional install. It seems like a change. What were you thinking?
It is a change. The reason that was changed is because we don't currently ship a C++ client. And the rule for getting into the box with Visual Studio 2012 was that you need to support all the WinRT platforms. We will at some point in time ship a C++ client, but we don't do that today. And so we were brought out of Visual Studio. But that allows us to actually release faster anyway.
Okay, so that's interesting. So if I'm a C-sharp or a VB developer, I'll be able to use OData client. Today, if I'm a C++ developer, it's a waiting game, right? There's going to be a time. It's just not here now. Using JavaScript, I can already use the JavaScript library that's out there. I don't have to do anything special, correct?
Yeah, you have a couple of options if you're using JavaScript. So JavaScript, you could just use bare JavaScript and use jQuery's $.get, or you could use Data.js, which is a client that we produce that it provides a little bit better support, or there's a number of mobile frameworks like Sentient Touch and Telerik mobile framework that already provide built-in support for consuming OData.
And if I'm writing an application in iOS, I've got a client?
You do have a client there. It's OData for Objective-C, I believe.
And if I'm writing an Android application, do I have a client?
OData for J, yep.
Well, I mean, I can't even think of another one. If I'm writing a COBOL app, do I have a client? Oh, I'm kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. No, so, I mean, really, look, all the reasons developers might come up with of not using OData are, like, squashed out of the way very quickly. Not only is the payload teeny tiny, probably smaller than what they're doing today, not only that, but they have a client for every client they can think of, or, you know, a front end for every client they can think of. The server's easy to implement. They've got it for different technologies as well. And there's a lot of support that's already there. You were saying outside of Microsoft, you were talking about SAP that's already adopted it and IBM as well. Inside, we have a lot of our products that out of the box support OData queries to them. What are some of those?
So SharePoint has supported OData in the past, and their support for OData is increasing in SharePoint 2013.
I got to stop you right there. That is unbelievable. Yep. So that crazy camel language, I shouldn't say that. You know, it's a sophisticated and neat camel language that you have to learn in order to interact with SharePoint. I can just bypass that altogether, interact with just a simple link call, talking directly to it, and get back whatever I want without having to learn some sophisticated and proprietary language that only SharePoint understands.
Yeah,
is that
right? Imagine firing up LinkPad and being able to talk to SharePoint from LinkPad without having to do anything special.
I don't have to imagine, man. I've done it. It's awesome.
Super cool.
Okay, so we got SharePoint. Super cool. Made it real easy. What else?
We've got Project Online. We've got Windows Server is speaking OData through PowerShell. System Center is speaking OData. We've got more and more parts of Azure that are picking up OData. Pretty much everything at Microsoft is standardizing on the OData protocol.
I think that's the right way to say it. Everything at Microsoft is slowly standardizing on the OData protocol. And it's no longer the Microsoft protocol. OData.org is not a Microsoft property, so to speak, right?
That's right.
Is it an open standard? What's going on there?
So OData itself as a protocol is being submitted to OASIS for standardization. And we've been joined by a number of leading industry partners out there. SAP is probably completely in the game there. IBM, CA, there's just tons and tons of people. I'd encourage you to go out and look at the OASIS Technical Committee site, and hopefully we can include that link in the show notes here.
Yep, no problem. We'll definitely do it. And the new Azure Mobile Services includes an OData connection up to your database. I just want to toss that in because just more and more of it showing up.
Yeah,
it's a sweet deal. All right.
Another good part about that is that it just increases our client investment, right? Because Azure is all about reaching out to all those various clients. And some of the clients have fallen behind, right? The PHP client's not all that great. The Objective-C client could use some work. But we're going to be investing in those clients going forward.
All right. So let me ask you some nerd. I've been using it in Windows 8, and I've just got to ask you a couple things. So
sure.
I notice when I want to do an asynchronous query,
mm-hmm.
I add an extension method to handle that for me.
Yep.
You know, because the asynchronous call is actually a complex one. What happened there? Why am I not just saying query async? What's going on there? Or is that just an artifact of where we are in the process?
I think that's an artifact of where we are in the process. The Windows 8 API is really new. We were trying to get it out at RTM and make sure that it was solid. We have some general API work to do on the clients as a whole, and hopefully Windows Phone and Windows 8 will come into very tight parity in the near future.
Okay, I get that. Another thing that I like to use whenever I use the Entity Framework is trackable Entity. Do you know what I mean? The one
yep.
that can keep track of everything. And when I expose my Entity Framework through an OData, what are my options for a trackable sort of class?
So on the client side, you have the ability to do kind of self-tracking entities, or you have the ability to do untracked queries. If you do untracked queries, so if you're in a read-only world, you do get some performance benefits, and so I'd encourage people to do that if you're dealing with a read-only service. But if you need entity tracking, then it's there for you as well on the client.
Beautiful. It's right there waiting for you. That's nice. And on the .NET side, I'm a C# developer myself. Right now, it feels like I'm still getting AtomPub. Am I getting JSON back?
So right now, it depends on what you tell the client to do. So with today's client, so if you were to go out and pull down 5.0 and say that you wanted to connect up to a service, then you would get AtomPub back by default. The ways to deal with that are a series of client-side events. And so in the client-side events, then you would go out and intercept that, change the header to requesting application/JSON instead of application/Atom+XML, and deal with the response at that point in time. With this next version of the WCF Data Services client, which is 5.1, we have the ability to just say context.useJSONLite, and it will automatically kick you into JSONLite. It'll do everything that it needs to do, and it's beautiful.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, so give me some ideas of what we're going to see. I don't know how much you can talk about the future of OData or what kind of features are in your backlog,
yeah.
but if you can, what are some things that developers can look forward to?
Yeah, so on the near-term horizon, we've got JSONLite coming out. That should be in production hopefully by the time this show airs. We have dollar format and dollar callback are finally coming in and getting first-class support. We've got some special stuff coming in for some various people at Microsoft that want to do different key conventions. And then further down the road, we're finally going to be looking at enums. So OData v4, mm-hmm. which is the OASIS standard, already talks about enums, so we should be able to get enum support in finally.
Very nice. And so if I am a – let's back one more time. If I'm a WPF developer, in order to get started, I don't need anything, right? It's all there waiting for me.
That's right.
Or – yeah. And then if I'm a Windows 8 developer, then I just go and get that. It's in GitHub or it's in NuGet? I can't remember. NuGet's just the path.
Windows 8 does have a tooling download. So there is an MSI that you need to download from the download center and install on your machine. And it does magic stuff with the add service reference experience to do the code gen that you need to do to connect up to an OData service.
Got it.
With our other clients, VS 2012, we made a pretty big shift where we're automatically dropping in the NuGet packages for you. So if you add an item template for a WCF data service in VS 2012, or if you add service reference to an OData service, you're automatically getting the NuGet packages.
I get the one from my cache, or I get the latest from wherever it is.
You'll get one from on your machine, but it's got the same ID as the one on NuGet. So if you then go do update package, then you'll actually get the most recent version from NuGet.
That's brilliant. And yeah. If I'm an iOS developer, I would go to...
If you're an iOS developer, you go to GitHub and get it from Objective-C or OData for Objective-C. Sorry.
Yep. And if I can't remember, just go to odata.org. That's right. Everything is there. And there's a lot of free services that have already exposed some data. Northwind is out there, I know.
Yep.
And Netflix is out there, I know. And yep. A lot of different things.
eBay, if you just NuGet. Test.
Yeah. Oh, eBay. I didn't realize eBay, too.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really brilliant. Okay. And I mean, every time I talk to developers who are building services, it like hurts my stomach when I see them writing methods to go get it. However, I do want to say... There are times for those methods, don't you think? There are times.
Sure, there are.
Something specific?
And I think that NuGet's an interesting example. So recently there was a blog post on Allende's site where there was a little bit of OData bashing going on, and so I went and talked to the NuGet team after the fact and asked them what was going on. And they said, well, you know, we've got this really unique paradigm where we've got tons and tons of people hitting the NuGet service from Visual Studio, and those particular calls always look exactly the same, and we need them to be just incredibly performant. And so what they're going to do is they're actually going to kind of split things up. They're going to leave their OData feed up for most people to do querying by top and everything else that you would want to do for ad hoc queries. But for those highly, highly customized queries, they're actually going to come up with a specialized service to deal with just those queries. So I think there is a time and place for OData. OData does a great job of dealing with ad hoc or things that you can't predict. But if you have a very, very predictable thing and performance is the only thing that you really care about, then maybe OData is not the best fit for you.
That's right. OData allows for a lot of dynamic querying, and if you're never going to do that, then you know, don't crack enough with a steamroller sort of thing.
Yep.
It is the right tool for the right job. And I also know that we have a technology of web API. This sounds a lot like web API. What do you talk to when developers say, I'm already used? I don't know. How does this relate to web API?
So our team is closely aligned with the web API team. We work very closely with them. In fact, one of our PMs is working on that team with the OData support there. So web API will be adding OData support. If you mark your web API methods with the queryable attribute, you'll automatically get the ability to do some of the OData operations there. And that will increase over time, of course, as they get time to do development. But Web API has kind of a different approach to dealing with this than we do. We deal with very structured data and a very formalized protocol, whereas Web API is kind of, well, you know, you should be able to do what you want, and we're barely going to provide anything for you above HTTP. So if you need lots of liberties and creativity and things like that, then maybe Web API is a good fit. If you have more structured data and you're dealing with things like that, then OData might be a better fit.
Got it. And Web API has a specific use case of its own, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I'm connecting to my WCF services through a binary binding or something like that, then, you know, that obviously WCF is still the way I want to do it through. And to be clear, if I'm building a service and I want to use OData, I add new item WCF data service.
Yep.
That's what I'm adding. I'm not adding OData. So a lot of people
search
for that and they can't find it. WCF data service is the Microsoft technology implementation OData. Yeah,
yep.
OData is the umbrella of this whole implementation. If I go to an IBM server, they're not going to have a WCF data service.
That's correct. And I do want to clarify one thing, that OData doesn't need to necessarily deal with schematized information. It does have the ability to declare these things called open types, which have open properties, which you can kind of think of as dynamic document database type stuff. It's just not necessarily the primary use case for OData. And if people are using that, I'd love to hear about it and get that feedback.
All right, let's do that. How can we give you some feedback? How can we contact you? Are you a Twitter guy, or what do you recommend?
So I'm not on Twitter as much as I'd like to be, but I'm at Mark D. Stafford out there. You can reach me through my blog at bitwise.com. And, of course, we're always watching the comments on our team blog at blogs.msdn.com, WAC B, WAC Astoria team.
And all those resources right here on the episode page, so everybody can get those if they didn't write them all down just then. No problem.
Great.
Mark, I love OData. It was a great opportunity to just introduce developers, just reiterate the bright future of OData, the strong adoption of OData, how they can leverage it in their applications right now because all the SDKs are ready to go. Really, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks so much. I hope that people enjoy working with OData.
Yeah, you bet. And you, the viewer, if you haven't already looked into OData, you're missing out. Go add a WCF data service to your application or to your web service and just expose your database, and you'd be surprised, 3-4 lines and you're done, and all of a sudden you have more power than you can ever imagine. Perfect. Thanks again, Mark, and we'll see you again soon.